717 at the Big 550 KTRS. Hard to believe we're just a few weeks away from the Iowa caucuses. And then shortly after that, the first primary of the 2016 presidential campaign. It's hard to believe for two reasons. One, that we're already back close to 2016. Mm-hmm. And two, that we haven't had the election yet. Doesn't it seem like...
It seems... Well, it's been going on for a year.
The entire year. which has made a lot of work for my next guest. Her name is Katie Sanders. She's the deputy editor of PolitiFact, one of the best fact-checking organizations in this country. And this being the end of the year, she and her colleagues have looked back on what the politicians and other loudmouths have been saying all year long. And because they've been keeping track on it from a scale of true to mostly true to somewhat true, all the way down to liar, liar, pants on fire, they've now compiled their list of the lies of the year. And Katie's here to talk about them. Good morning, Katie.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. This year, you didn't actually just come up with one lie of the year. You have a compendium all out of the mouths of one person, right?
Yes. Can you take a guess?
Does it rhyme with Trump?
It rhymes exactly with Trump, yes. We couldn't single out one single outrageous statement as our lie of the year, as we usually do. So we collectively decided the campaign misstatements of Donald Trump deserve our 2015 lie of the year.
So there was no particular statement that he said that was more outrageous than the rest, but there certainly have been plenty of them all year long, right?
Absolutely. We highlighted three in particular in our story. The one about thousands of Muslims in New Jersey cheering with the World Trade Center towers going down.
Yeah.
You know, he has not backed down on that at all. We also fact-checked back from day one of his campaign. He said the Mexican government, they send the bad ones over.
Right.
That's another pants on fire claim.
Yeah.
And then he's really active on Twitter, as you know, and he retweeted some really faulty and offensive statistics about black homicide. That was really inaccurate.
Yeah.
One of the statistics is whites killed by blacks, 81%, and that's wildly off.
Yeah.
So we highlighted those three, but there are certainly more.
Well, the thing that's frustrating about him, and of course he has slapped back at you, not even necessary to go into what he says about this, but the thing that's most frustrating about him is the fact that he never actually has evidence to back up his claims, but that doesn't seem to matter to so many of his supporters. Mm-hmm. Does that frustrate you, Katie?
You know, we just try to pick our battles, do what we can. We wish with some other candidates, we see when we present and from our research and show that what they said isn't true, we notice that they do stop saying it on some occasions. So sure, it is frustrating that he continues to propagate misinformation. That's not necessarily exclusive to Donald Trump, but you know, our goal is just to have an educated voters, right? So things that don't go toward that goal is a little frustrating, but it's not exactly new with just Donald Trump.
Well, I think many of the people who are big supporters of his also fall into the same category as what we call low information voters. So they're probably not even going to see what PolitiFact says about this, and even if they do, they're going to discount it because Donald said something and it must be right, even if there's no proof of what he said. And you know, the Jersey City claim is a perfect example of that. No news organization has any video footage of that. The police in that town say it never happened. Everybody in that town say it never happened. Nobody witnessed it. And even though he has no evidence to back it up, he continues to make that claim. And when he's challenged on that, he says, oh, well, but other people tweeted to me that they saw the same thing. As if Twitter is now our reference source for reality.
A lot of people tweeted at us and emailed us that they also saw these things. But to us, you have to have evidence. And just because you say it happened doesn't mean that that's proof that it actually happened. So we also wrote a story explaining all the things we had heard, but none of it amounted to hard proof to back up what he said about thousands of people celebrating.
And he's why he's saying it now, I don't understand. But I have another question. Did anyone, Katie, come in a close second at all for lies of the year?
Not a officially. Definitely not officially. We do a reader's poll, and the first three statements chosen by the readers for their opinion of what lie of the year should be were all Donald Trump. So in a way, he took first, second, and third. But we have, you can look at our files on PolitiFact for every candidate, and you can compare the accuracy of all the statements we fact-checked. And Ben Carson, if you look at the percentage of his claims that are rated mostly false, false, or pants on fire, it's actually a higher percentage than Donald Trump, slightly higher. But we haven't checked him as much. So, you know, you have to keep those caveats in mind. But he said some interesting things, too.
PolitiFact has been around for a couple of presidential cycles now. How does this one compare to previous ones?
Well, this is really my second one. And I don't remember. There's just so many different people to keep track of. I'm ready for the primary process to shake out a little bit, because right now we're just, I feel like we're zooming around, and there's a lot of things to choose from for us to, for fact-checking purposes, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, not to harp on Donald Trump, but, I mean, nobody's really seen anything like this last this long.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's entirely different.
Yeah, well, you know, you're right. There were so many of them. At one point this year, there were 20 people vying for the nominations between the two parties. In fact, it was closer to 25. But some of them, you know, they were not even on the radar for, you know, like George Pataki has announced that he's dropping out of the Republican race. And 99.9% of Americans go, who's George Pataki? And he was running for president? And that's the way most people look at some of them. My question for you really is, with all of the things that you have to study in that one category, the file on Donald Trump has got to be so big that it pushes some of these other people out of even you having time to focus on what they're saying.
That's true. And, you know, we try to pick statements that people have actually heard or might have heard or have some kind of newsworthiness. So, you know, with George Pataki, we don't have a hard and fast rule to check every candidate super evenly, you know, because that doesn't make a lot of sense for our readers who, again, haven't heard of George Pataki. So we're trying to, you know, we did not get to fact check him as much as Donald Trump or any of the other people near the lead. You know, I wish we could, but we just have to prioritize because our staff is not that big.
Yeah, there's no way to really balance this. But can you tell me something that somebody on the Democratic side this year that qualified as mostly false or even pants on fire, maybe Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders?
Sure. You know, we did a New York Times op-ed about our work, and there's this really cool graphic that shows all of the records in one place. And Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Bernie Sanders, their percentage of mostly false, false, pants on fire statements is a lot smaller than the other candidates we talked about on the GOP side. It's 28%, 26%. But they've had some missteps, too. And one of Hillary Clinton's that Donald Trump loves to highlight is what she said, that people, that ISIS was going around showing videos of Donald Trump as for recruiting purposes. Do you remember that?
Yes.
She said that during the debate. And we checked that on the debate night and found there was no evidence for it. We had heard some people talk about that might be a concern, but no videos. So she was not speaking in accurate terms there, so we rated it false.
That's a lie. We can call it a lie, regardless of who it comes from. But here's the ironic thing about this. We're trying to get away from talking about Donald Trump, and what's the statement we have to use on the other side? Something about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things I liked that your boss, Angie Drobnik-Holen, wrote about this in the press release about the lie of the year is a quote from Donald Trump from his book, The Art of the Deal, which came out, I think, in 1987.
Yes.
He wrote, "People want to believe that something is the biggest and the greatest and the most spectacular. I call it truthful hyperbole. It's an innocent form of exaggeration and a very effective form of promotion," which is essentially what we're seeing out of him now. But there's another side of that, which is it's not so innocent sometimes, is it?
No, you know, definitely not. And we did highlight that quote very high in our story. I like the one also from Art of the Deal. Do you mind if I read it?
Go ahead.
It's at the end of our story. He wrote, "You can't con people, at least not for long. You can create excitement, you can do wonderful promotion and get all kinds of press, and you can throw in a little hyperbole." But he said, "If you don't deliver the goods, people will eventually catch on." So that's what he wrote in Art of the Deal. So we're waiting to see if that happens.
Yeah, when is eventually? Do we have a time stamp on that?
No, I don't know. You know, I imagine once people start voting, we'll know if they care about him getting the Lie of the Year or they don't.
Well, that's the important thing to keep in mind in all of this. Not one single vote has been cast. This is all the numbers that you see are polls, most of them of registered voters, not even of likely voters. And so on both sides of the spectrum here, any prediction that anybody thinks they can make right now about what is going to happen 11 months from now is nothing more than speculation, and you have to take it with a grain of salt. But keeping a PolitiFact on your browser so that you can check on statements made by all of these people from Trump all the way down is a very good idea, and I appreciate the work that you and Angie and all the rest of your team do, Katie. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Katie Sanders is the deputy editor of PolitiFact, joining us here on the Big 550 KTRS. And just one last thing, just to go back to that part of that statement from Art of the Deal where he says it's an innocent form of exaggeration. There have been things that Trump has been saying about Muslims in particular, mm-hmm. and his followers have taken that as, well, now we have to attack Muslims.
As the gospel, they're taking it, you
yes.
know?
Yes, and that has happened. There was a guy who was beaten up at a Trump event just a couple of nights ago by one of the thugs in the audience for just expressing his opinion. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand at that point you're a heckler at a public event and you should be taken out by security, not beaten up by followers. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between those two, and that's where the rhetoric can be simply over the top. It's not an innocent form of exaggeration anymore. 729 of the Big 550 KTRS.